Welcome to your five for the day. This Sunday is what we call Palm Sunday. As Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem on that day nearly 2,000 years ago, he stopped for a moment and sent two of his disciples into a nearby village to carry out a special errand. His instructions were quite simple. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, and bring it here to me. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. Those two disciples must have wondered about what Jesus told them to do, because he must have walked hundreds of miles up and down the land of Israel, but they'd never seen him riding, except in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. But now he gives this unusual command, and even told them the exact words they were to use, should anyone question them. Jesus knew what he was going to face in the city of Jerusalem, so his decision to go into the city must have been one of the most difficult he ever made. And on top of that, to ride into the city on a colt, rather than to walk into it as he had often done before, must have been even more unusual, because riding a colt into the city was a public declaration that he was a king. 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah had proclaimed that fact when he wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see, in times of war, conquerors would ride in chariots or upon prancing stallions, but in times of peace, the king would ride a colt to symbolize that peace prevailed. So for Jesus to ride into Jerusalem upon a colt is to declare that he is a king proclaiming peace. How would the people respond to that? Would they recognize that his kingdom was not of this world, but that it was a spiritual kingdom, and he was to be a spiritual king? As Jesus rides down toward the gate of the city, the crowds are growing. There's a festive air, for it is Passover, and pilgrims are gathering from far and near for this greatest of all Jewish holidays. Jesus realized, as he listened to their hosannas, that soon the sinister voices would drown out the voices of love that those crying for him to be king would soon be crying, "Crucify him," or simply standing aside, saying nothing at all. Perhaps some of them would greet him with laughter. Maybe they would be amused by what Jesus was doing. After all, here he is, a carpenter, declaring himself to be a king. Perhaps some would think he's living in a world of fantasy, imagining himself to be a king, and they would laugh at him. Others would greet him with anger, upset because they would interpret his riding into the city as arrogance and blasphemy against God. Of course, many would hail him with joy, welcoming him as an earthly king, come to re-establish the throne of David and overthrow the Roman Empire. They were ready and eager to place a crown upon his head. Among the crowds would be people he had healed. Some had been among the thousands he had fed. Many more had seen some of his miracles and listened as he spoke with authority. They had listened, and their lives had been changed. Jesus knew all of this. He knew that just over the horizon was the cross, looming like a monster ready to consume him. But in spite of it all, Jesus still resolutely set out for Jerusalem to display without a shadow of a doubt that the King of Kings had come to be the Saviour of the world. Thank you for listening.